Okay, we've been reporting this week about the Planet Money T-shirt and the global factory that created it. For example, much of the sewing work was done in Bangladesh. Bangladesh is one of the top five suppliers of clothing to the United States, and it got to that position because of some unlikely events, including an obscure trade deal from the 1970s. Zoe Chace of NPR's Planet Money team reports.
This story begins in the early 70s. Bangladesh was one of the poorest places on earth. A civil war, a cyclone, a refugee crisis. It was bad, and it sparked the first Live Aid-style benefit concert ever. That's George Harrison, one of the Beatles. Now, inside Bangladesh, there was this other guy working on a plan to help, Abdul-Majid Chowdhury. Chowdhury was a businessman. He and a couple of his friends were looking around for ways to help their country's desperate economy.
We need employment. We need dollar. And we ask ourselves, what the hell we want?
Back then, there was hardly any industry there. The country's main export was this plant, jute, the main ingredient in burlap sacks. Chowdhury saw an opportunity making clothes to sell to the world. Relatively low cost, relatively low skill. Only one problem.
I did not know how many buttons I had in my shirt. We did not know. I mean, that is the thing.
There was a place that did know exactly. The country of Korea. Chowdhury saw Korea as a model for Bangladesh. Also devastated by a war and written off, but its economy had rebounded in part because they'd learned to make clothes and sell them to the world. So Chowdhury went to South Korea and toured a massive garment factory there. And he saw the jobs he'd been looking for.
What I saw, that a lot of girls, they were working. And when I saw those girls, I remember my country, and I can see that my girls can replace these girls like that. And that was the intention.
Chowdhury set up a meeting with the head of the factory, the CEO of the company, Dai Wu. The meeting was scheduled for 45 minutes. It went over.
You will not believe it. I started the meeting after lunch. It was about 4 o'clock. And I finished at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Chowdhury emerged in the dead of night with a deal. Korea would help set up the first export-oriented garment factory in Bangladesh. Chowdhury had help convincing the Daewoo chairman to invest in Bangladesh, help from an unlikely source, Richard Nixon.
And so what we're fighting for is for the protection of our textiles and our textile markets. But let's
this is President Nixon talking in Asheville, North Carolina in 1970, promising to do something about the cheap clothes and textiles that were flooding in from places like Korea and threatening jobs in textile towns like Asheville.
You know, textiles are produced all over the United States of America, and we have the problem of imports from abroad.
So Nixon helped create this massive piece of trade policy in 1974, the multi-fiber arrangement. Sounds boring, but you could say it reshaped the entire global economy. It set these firm limits for how much clothing and textiles each country could sell to the United States. And around the time that Mr. Chowdhury had made his trip to the Daewoo clothing factory, Korea had hit its limit, which gave the Koreans an incentive. Open up a factory in another country, say Bangladesh, get made in Bangladesh labels, put on their Korean-made shirts, and sell them to the West. So the deal Chowdhury and the Daewoo CEO worked out in the late hours of their meeting was for Chowdhury to come back to Korea with a whole bunch of Bangladeshis. The Koreans would train them for 6 months, and then they'd all go back to Bangladesh together and open a factory. Eventually, 128 Bangladeshis fly off to Korea, a country most of them had certainly never seen, and the culture clash was instant. Mohammad Nuruddin was on that trip.
The problem we had, the stinky food, kimchi, we could not eat them. Some girls were vomiting. They could not exist.
Did they really? They threw up?
Yeah.
The Bangladeshis weirded out the Koreans too, I discovered.
Yabuseyo?
Yeah.
I reached Kim Eun-hee. He was the Korean trainer at Daewoo in charge of the collar and cuff section. Korea was still pretty isolated back then. Kim Eun-hee had never met someone from that part of the world.
When they approached me to shake hands, their hands smelled. I mean, they had this smell on their hand that I was not used to. just generally when they were around, there were these different spices that I could smell from them. And so it was not too easy at first to approach them and to be near them.
Neither side had been prepared for this aspect of the training, the smell of each other. But they worked through it. Kim Eun-hee even tried the Bangladeshi food himself at a special event the Bangladeshis threw for the Koreans.
And what happened was they served some of their food to us and we couldn't eat it. It was just repelling. We kind of sat there not eating it, and our CEO actually called all of us out. And he brought us to the corner of the room. He said, "We're going to be living in an international society, and this is something that we're just going to have to endure. So suck it up and just eat it."
That part about the international society turns out to be true, certainly immediately for Korea. After 6 months of training, Kim Eun-hee flew to Bangladesh to help them set up the very first export-oriented garment factory there, Desh Garments in Chittagong. That was in 1980, in 30 years, a country that had only the material to make burlap sacks to sell to the world became one of the biggest clothing makers on earth. Now more than 4,000 factories. Anwal Chowdhury, another person from the original group who went to Korea, he says you can trace every one back to our trip.
Wherever you go, the origin is there. Maybe it is now fourth or fifth generation that I trained one person, he trained another person, and then again he trained another person.
Now, the rapid spread of the garment industry in Bangladesh has brought problems. The government is weak, the infrastructure weaker. You've probably heard of Rana Plaza, the factory that collapsed, killing more than 1,000 people. The country industrialized so quickly that sometimes it's dangerous. Kim Eun-hee, in fact, Daewoo, the company, stopped making clothes, moved into high-end fabrics and electronics, but he still remembers a little Bengali from those days.
That means I love you.
Oh, is that what you guys said to each other at the end?
Yeah, we did.
Passing the t-shirt baton from one country to the next, all because of a piece of trade policy that changed the world and certainly utterly changed Bangladesh. Zoe Chase, NPR News.
NPR sent video cameras around the world to follow the secret life of a t-shirt, and you can see every step. It's amazing. At npr.org/shirt.